So glad you're back with us at GoldSeek.com Radio. Today's featured guest, Rich Dad Robert Kiyosaki. Well, it's a pleasure to welcome back to the show the best-selling author of the Rich Dad, Poor Dad book series. Welcome back.
Thank you.
The beginning of a new year, you like to go on record sometimes with forecast prognostications, your outlook for the new year.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I wrote in my latest book, Second Chance, last year, a year ago. And I said the Euro or the European Union would come apart. I also said in 2000 that in 2016, the biggest stock market crash in history would occur. And in 2005, I predicted the real estate crash, which came in 2007.
What exactly led you to make the 2016 call on equities?
Well, that was based upon facts, not anything else. The 401k is flawed. It's called ERISA, E-R-I-S-A. Is that baby boomers, my generation, must start withdrawing funds in 2016 when they turn 70 and a half. So when people talk about the stock market, they're generally talking about capital gains or the stock market going up. Well, the market can't go up every year if baby boomers are pulling money out. And once people realize the flaw in the law, the 401k, then it makes no sense to keep your money in there for the long term. Investing for the long term in the stock market today could be the worst thing you could do.
Advisors always tell you to keep your money in the casino, don't they?
Of course. You know, like I've been listening to this Davos and all this stuff, and they're all saying everything's fine, don't worry, economy's strong.
The FOMC, we've got a meeting this week. They're not going to raise rates this week, but likely in March, you know, we're going to keep inching higher. Is that just a non-event, or do you think that will have a significant impact on the economy and the market?
I think the thing that most people don't watch is called the Plunge Protection Team, which came in with Reagan in 1987. And what happens is every time the market crash, money mysteriously comes in and props it up. So to me, that's more interesting because, you know, last couple of weeks, the market's been down and like magic, money appears and the market goes back up again. And my only question to your listeners is how long can they keep going doing that? Because, it's, you know, Japan, the Prime Minister of Japan in Davos, Switzerland, just said we can just use QE. Well, it hasn't worked. You know, their market, their economy is still collapsing. It didn't work for Germany in 1923, I think. It doesn't work.
You talked about the Eurozone unraveling at the seams. Obviously, we're going to see some capital flows into the U.S. and particularly equities because their stock market has just been a disaster. Do you think that's what's helping keep U.S. equities afloat?
I'm sure it is, but I'm not really good in equities because I'm not a gambler, you know, and I don't like it when I can't control the asset itself. For example, when I have a piece of real estate, I control it. I know the real numbers to it. And when I look at a financial statement of, let's say, Apple, I really don't know what's going on. It's mirrors, you know. I think the good news for you guys, the old gold guys, is I'm back to buying gold again. I think we've bottomed. So if the currencies start coming down, which I expect they will, which they are, then gold goes up. The dollar may not rally next to gold. But if I was holding euro right now, I'd be buying gold.
Gold can rise along with the dollar. We've seen that plenty of times in the past.
Well, I'm not even concerned about the up and down of gold, the price of gold. I just want to know how many ounces I've got. And so lately, you know, I don't buy ETFs and all that stuff because I don't control what they hold. So I have my secret vault hidden away, and I have my gold there. Nobody knows them. But I'd rather have the real gold and real silver rather than IOUs, you know?
Yeah, as you say, you know, it's unencumbered. But also, you know, there's just too many ways for them to get their fingers on what you've worked a lifetime to save.
I look at gold as not money, but as an insurance policy against the stupidity and arrogance of our leaders, who actually believe, you know, these intellectuals, you know, like throughout history, people have hated intellectuals because they actually think they're so smart they can control the economy. And that's what Bernanke did. That's what Paulson did. These intellectuals actually believe they're smarter than the economy. And they're not. So that's why I buy gold, because I'm not Republican or Democrat, but you know what I'm saying? He's not really a real person.
You talk about the potential bottom in the precious metals. It looks kind of positive. You know, we've had a 4 or 5 really rough years, silver dipping down to around $13 an ounce. You're not terribly worried about it, you know, if we saw some more downside, because frankly, who believes in the currency anyway? So what you really want to do is value your wealth in terms of ounces and not in terms of dollars. Is that a fair statement?
That's exactly it. And the further it goes down, the more ounces I buy. You know, it's a lot of people speak out against dollar cost averaging. But I like it when it's going down, because every time I have a few extra dollars, I just buy gold. Why do I buy gold? Because I won't spend it.
Yeah, that's what Jim Rogers, you know, in Singapore, and Mark Faber in Thailand are always telling us. You know, they love the lower prices because, as you say, it gives them a lower cost average.
Right. And then those guys who say gold is, you know, the barbaric relic and all this stuff. Well, that's their opinion, but most of those guys are what I call the intellectuals. You know, the guys who actually think their brains are more powerful than the ocean currents.
It's a good metaphor, because it really is the tide that's brought them their wealth. And once again, they're confusing, i.e. the higher stock prices, where everything's been led along by monetary easing, right, and low rates, with these government policies.
That's like, I agree wholeheartedly. I was looking at pictures of this last storm that passed, and I saw Manaloking, New Jersey, you know, they're flooded again. And really, that's what we're looking at. I mean, all of us are looking at it right now. This market is so manipulated. The question is, who has the power to continue to manipulate it? And I don't know of anybody, so that's why I like gold and silver.
You've been a big fan of real estate. You know, the Philadelphia Housing Index has plunged sharply. That tends to be a precursor of, you know, the Case-Shiller Index in the next few months. Do you see some good buying opportunities for the American consumer as far as housing goes?
You're always looking for a bargain, so prices going down is good. You know, I mean, Case-Shiller are for consumers, if you know what I mean. It's Mr. and Mrs. New Jersey looking for a house. And what I'm looking for, apartment houses that REITs, REITs, are dumping. And right now, I don't know if you know, but apartment houses are the hottest things in the real estate market today. And Mr. and Mrs. New Jersey don't buy apartment. And, you know, I don't speculate on my house, you know, my residential property, because that's consumption. You know, when people say, oh, the value of my house went up, I said, that means you're a consumer. You're not an investor. You know, I don't really care what the price of my house is. I just like my house.
Back on track here a bit, you know, we're looking at 2016. Not a big fan of stocks. You've been on, you know, on the right side of that market for quite some time.
I got out fully in March. It was probably one of the smartest things I've done. You know, I didn't make any money, but I didn't lose much money. So that's really good.
That is solid. And, you know, the other way to look at it is people, you know, taking a longer term perspective, picking up some precious metals, you get that diversification, you can sleep a little more soundly at night. And you also know that you're getting silver at 66% off, gold, you know, 40-45% off the highs. So, you know, where's the risk there?
The risk is not having it. And that's why I'm laughing about Saturday Night Live, and I can't tell Fox from Saturday Night Live, because those guys are a bunch of cartoons up there now. And those are the guys you're going to count on for the economy? Give me a break. I mean, right now, I trust in gold and I trust in silver. I don't trust the stock market. I don't trust the Fed. I don't trust our leaders. I don't trust the EU to stay apart, to not come apart. You have Puerto Rico in serious trouble. I mean, how many other things have you got out there? And you look at the national debt, it's now $20 trillion. If you want to believe Saturday Night Live characters, then you just keep believing. But I'd rather have gold than silver.
Looks like we're going to have some better times ahead. Any other sectors or markets that you're watching closely?
Well, it's the same thing. I always focus on one or two things. Focus stands for follow one course until successful, FOCUS. I don't chase around. I understand the real estate market. I understand, you know, how many people are renting and how many people are not renting. That's what I understand. And as far as oil goes, you know, I invest in oil. I'm looking at oil again because oil at this level is really a good deal. But I don't invest in price. When I invest in oil, I get an 80% tax break day one. So I invest $1 million. I get a 32% return, $32,000 return almost instantly. So nothing to do with price. It has to do with focus. How much do you know? It's the same as gold and silver. The more you know and the less you trust our leaders, the more I like gold and silver. I don't trust our leaders. If you trust them, stay in the markets, you know, buy, hold, and pray.
You know, you talk about the crude oil, and even if we did drop another 20, 30, 50% or more, I mean, the risk to reward is just getting very enticing around the $30 area. I mean, it looks like a good portfolio addition here.
Well, there's something else I would like to caution people on is that there's a lot of countries going broke because of those prices. Saudi Arabia's in trouble. Russia's in trouble. The oil, you know, Nigeria's in trouble. Colombia. So when you look at that, you have to ask yourself, if I was Putin right now and my country is going broke, what am I going to do next? You start wars. You know, look at Saudi Arabia. They want to take their Aramco public. Because why? Because they're going broke. You know, it's time to cash in. So I would not look so small term or, you know, minutia. Look at what's going on across the world. Russia will go broke at $30 a barrel. And if that happens, he's going to start a war. So that's going to be good for gold, silver, and oil.
When this happened, as oil was sliding, the ruble was shot through the roof. And anybody holding gold protected their purchasing power by something like 100, 150%.
The same thing happened in 1918, 1923 in Germany. The people that dumped the Reichsmark and moved it into Swiss francs made a fortune. The people that held Reichsmark got wiped out. So that's why they, you know, the old saying goes is that the pessimist in, you know, that my friends who are Jewish, they always say the pessimist left Germany and moved to New York. That's what happens when you sit and hope and pray that your leaders are in charge of the show. The difference was the currency. You see, as long as they moved into dollars, my Jewish friends did well. The Jewish guys that hang on to the Reichsmark got wiped out. The point, as you and I know, the dollar is toxic. It's worse than the water of Flint, Michigan. The more dollars you hold, the more sick you get. And that's what's going on to the world economy. So that's why I would, if you're not in gold and silver, listen to this program. You may want to put your toe in and figure it out. But you get to look at the big picture, too. There's a lot of countries going broke now. How about pension plans like CalPERS, you know, the California Public Servants Pension? They don't have enough money to pay the baby boomers. They're going broke. Look at Yellow Cab just declared bankruptcy. You got to be kidding me. What's going on in the world is not just a matter of what you're holding on to. You got to pay it. Wake up and look at what's going on in the world. Japan's going down. China's going down. It really is a time to start looking bigger, not smaller. This price of oil is massive. There are whole countries going broke. Think about that.
So you think that implies we could get a big rebound in crude oil?
We're going to probably have some war. But when Russia can't pay its bills, it can't pay its, you know, its retirement, like most of these, you know, in Puerto Rico, it's the guys, and that's what's going on all over the world. That's why I mentioned CalPERS, you know, the California State Pension Plan and all that. The question is, can they afford to pay out what they owe the retirees? I don't think so. And so with that reason, I think we're very unstable, and I want to go to what's stable, which is gold and silver and oil. So that's how I look at it. You know, I don't look at apartment houses. I look at it as a place to live. You know, all those immigrants who are running from Syria across Europe right now, they'd give anything for a place to sleep right now.
That's exactly right. I mean, even a tent would be better than nothing.
Yeah, so low income, I'm basically, you know, low income housing. And guess what? A lot of people need low-income housing.
That's brilliant. And one other thing here to corroborate your thoughts on war. I noticed a few weeks ago the market was caving, but I was looking for stocks for, you know, my newsletter. One of the ones that stood out was Lockheed Martin. Every stock on my list was collapsing. High quality, blue chip, solid earnings growth. I mean, everything you want, a good, you know, evaluation. But Lockheed Martin holding up well as everything else is imploding. And that kind of makes one think maybe the war drums are about to start up again.
Well, it's called the military-industrial complex that in 1960 Eisenhower warned us of, that the business of America is war. As long as you understand that, there will be no peace. So war is very, very, very profitable.
Any parting comments for our listeners today?
Just watch Europe. You know, as I said, the euro is going to collapse. And when that happens, it's going to make gold more attractive, but also U.S. equities. And so I think the rush is going to, the big boom will be America. But I don't like to play that kind of stuff. I'd rather play what's kind of certain.
You want to hold on to, you know, something solid, something tangible, unencumbered, precious metals.
The reason I use debt and I don't use equities, you know, debt versus equity, I'm always using debt because debt's tax-free. And if you can understand that, you're a little bit wiser because taxes will ultimately be your highest expense, ultimately. So anything I cannot pay taxes on, I'll look at. So oil, I'll pay no tax. Debt, I'll pay no tax. I love that.
Anything in particular you'd like to share with the listeners today? You'd like to direct them maybe over to Amazon.com?
I would read my latest book, Second Chance, because in there you'll see graphs and pictures of what's going on in the economy today. And a picture is worth 1,000 words, but unfortunately there in political times is millions of words and no pictures. Just look at my book, Second Chance, and these are government charts. And you can tell, you can see what's really happening, and then you can say to yourself, I need to do something different. For example, people talk about the great crash of 1929. If you look in my book, Second Chance, you'll see that the great crash of 29 was not a, in the first 10 years of this century, we've had three major, major crashes. Two were Wall Street, one was real estate. A bigger crash is coming now. So that's why you should take a look at Second Chance and then make your own mind up.
Second Chance. You've got to get some copies at Amazon.com and over at the Rich Dad websites as well. Robert Kiyosaki, it's always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for your thoughts.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Here is your mining quiz for the day, compliments of GoldSeek. Which company has the largest undeveloped gold reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold. Now, which company has the largest undeveloped copper reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold again. Seabridge has more gold reserves than Kinross, Yamana, and Agnico Eagle. Last year alone, Seabridge added 515 million tons of new inferred resources containing nearly 6 million ounces of gold and more than 6 billion pounds of copper at their giant KSM project in British Columbia, Canada. Now they are drilling at KSM again with multiple rigs in a 25,000-meter program. Find out more by visiting www.seabridgegold.net. Traded on the NYSE, symbol SA, and the TSX, symbol SEA.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.